guys. So thank you all for having Emuna that will make it. I literally have a wedding. I stopped out to find somewhere I could do it. Josh was available. Okay, let's go. So we're the Prakim Perek Daled. So it says like this, that really, he was saying in the end of Gimel, how a person should not become a Baal Gaiva about doing things Lishma, and that, oh, I can only do things on the highest level possible. And then because of that, he ends up not doing them at all. And that's not the right way to do it. And you shouldn't discourage people from doing it on the lower level. Then he says, "V'gam im nireh." But Adam mentioned this yesterday, which is a person could have a point and say, well, 1 second, that's all if eventually you become on a higher level. Like Adam said yesterday, that's good if you see a guy in his 15s, in his teens, his 20s, and he's doing it shalei lishma, and you ask him, why are you learning? Why am I learning? I want to become a big rabbi. I want everyone to ask me shailas. I want to look smart when people ask me questions. I want to look good. Okay, fine. So you let him learn. And not only you let him learn, you tell him you give him kavod. You tell him he's a talmid chacham. It's good. It's fine. But what if the guy's already 70, 80 years old, and he's still doing this shtick? You know, enough already. You got to get into the, you know, you're still on the first rung of the ladder. So enough, you know, you got to get into the Lishma at some point, right? So he says, no, he says, V'gam im nireh, shekol yimei chayav, his whole life, mina urav, from his childhood, ad zikna v'seva, until his old years, haya iskei basha lo Lishma. His esek and Torah was not with the proper intentions. Gam kenata chayav linog boi kavod. You still, regardless, have to show him kavod. V'chol shken shalo levazoy seichas v'shalim. And kol shken, you cannot give him any bizayon. Why? Shekivan she'asak b'teres Hashem, because since he's learning, he's involved in Torah. Bilti safik, it is without a doubt. Shehaya kavanosei pamim rabois gam lishma. We can assume that many times he did hit a point of lishma. See, he's saying a major thing here. He's saying a person is learning Torah for all of his reasons and all of his thing. He has a shir he has to go to. Why is he going? He's going because he has to go to the shir because he likes the social part and they serve good sushi. So he goes to the class. All right. What are you going to say? Make fun of the guy? Maybe it comes a moment during that shir that something hits him. And for those 10 minutes, now he's hitting a point of lishma. You know, he's just interested. He wants to know more Torah. He wants to know more about this topic. He wants to understand it better. He wants to understand it deeper. Not for any other reason, but just to understand Torah better. That person just hit a point of lishma. So how dare you discourage a person from engaging in any level of learning? It doesn't make a difference what the level is. Ki ein apirish dafka shiyavu mizel lishma. It doesn't mean that he's going to be lishma his whole life. Elahainu shebachol pam shehu loymid bekevius zman kama shalis retzufim af shederach klal haisa kavanosa shelo lishma. Im kol zeh, however, it's impossible that one moment of proper machshava did not enter his mind. This is what he says. Beautiful machshava. I want to take it a step further. Okay? There's a sefer we've mentioned before, another sefer of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that the sefer is all sorts of different quotes that he has from Vilna Gaon. Because as we've said many times, he's the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So he says there that if a person wants to learn Lishma, if they learn for 3 hours straight, now obviously 3 hours straight is very difficult. Okay? Even, you know, people that learn all day, not necessarily do they get 3 hours straight, but if you learn 3 hours straight, there is automatically one moment that you hit that was lishma. And therefore he says, interestingly, you ever heard of the Goral Hagra? You ever heard of the concept of the Goral Hagra? The Goral Hagra is that yes. A person wants to know what to do. They don't know what to do. So they take a chumash and they flip a certain amount of pages back, forth, and whatever pasuk they land on, that's a message from Hashem that's what you're supposed to do. Like there was a famous story that Rabbi Aaron Cutler wasn't, no, maybe the opposite. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein wasn't sure if he should go to America and he did a girl agra and it said the pasuk that Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leich likras Aaron hamidbara. You should go to Aaron in the midbar. And since Rabbi Aaron Cutler was already in America, since America was considered a midbar, it was a desert of spirituality at that time. So the pasuk said to Moshe, go to Aaron in the midbar. He understood that meant you're supposed to go to America. Okay. So, okay. Now, On that note, so Reb Chaim Volozhiner says there's another way that a person can find out what does the Torah want from him. Amazing. You could find out what is the Ratzon of the Torah for me in my particular situation. He says, you know what it is? If a person learns for 3 hours straight, they close the sefer, they close their eyes, and whatever pops into their mind first, that idea is an idea straight from the Torah itself. So in other words, if a person hits a moment of Torah Lishma, they're so connected to Torah that whatever idea comes into their mind at that point is considered a Torah idea. Okay? So that's the idea of learning Torah Lishma. Now he says like this. He continues on and he says that there's a famous Chazal. Chazal in Gemara Sukkah says, Kol ha-gadol me-chaveroi, anyone that is greater than his friend, yitzroi gadol heimenu. The greater you are, the greater your yetzer hara is. Ki ha-yetzer mishapich v'tachpuloisav l'chol adam, kifi inyanoi u-madrigosoi b'toira v'avoida. Because the yetzer hara kind of plays with a person according to their level in Torah. She'im u-raya, she'kifi goi v'madrigosoi shol adam. Because you know what the yetzer hara could do? The Yitzhak could say, you're so chashuv, right? But you could really do more. You could really be better. You should really be doing more lishma. And by doing that, it confuses you and it could get you into a point of yetzara. Now,
Rabbi, I didn't understand the last part.
What?
What's the last
sentence? I'll read it more carefully. He says like this. Hizar benafshecha ma'oid. You have to be very careful. Sha'al yasiacha yitzchah lemor. Your yitzhar should not confuse you by telling you. She'ikra hakol tira. She'teach also koyemecha letarmach shavosecha karoi. Your whole day, you should just make sure that your mind is lishma and the right machshavah. No. That's not what you should be thinking about. But your yitzhar will tell you that. V'lo toshuv mipnei kol lehaniach tarmach shavosecha b'shom eiska. Never allow a moment of your mind not to be on the right topic, and everything l'shem shemayim. You know, what he's trying to say is that the Yetzer Hara can take on different forms for different people. For some people, the Yetzer Hara is exactly what it looks like. It's just this devil with a spear and a gun, and you know, looking, and then come do a verse with me, let's go, you know. That's one way of Yetzer Hara, but that's not a Yetzer Hara for a Talmid Chacham, because that Yetzer Hara, Talmid Chacham is geared up to fight with. That Yetzer Hara is not going to stand a chance against the Yetzer Hara, against the Talmid Chacham. But you know what type of Yetzer Hara could stand a chance against the Talmid Chacham? When the Yetzer Hara is dressed up like a chassid, like a real from person, and the Yetzer Hara will come saying, come with me. What you're doing, you could do it even better. You're spending too much time on all this stuff. Let's go up a level. I'll take you even higher. And sometimes that's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is not necessarily the demon telling you to do averus. Sometimes it's the Yetzer Hara trying to describe to you what type of mitzvahs to do. And that Yetzer Hara is even more dangerous because you don't know when to say yes and when to say no. And therefore you need that clarity of you know what? I'm doing my avodas Hashem. Okay? So he says, you have to know the derech of the Yetzer Hara and be wise. Today the Yetzer Hara will tell you, Torah mitzvah shebelo dveikus. If you do Torah mitzvahs, but that doesn't bring you closer to Hashem, ain't a clue, it's worthless. Let me ask you, says the Yetzer Hara, did you daven with greater fervor today than yesterday? No, I didn't. Well, then that means your learning didn't do anything. Your learning didn't accomplish anything. You didn't come closer to Hashem through your learning. So what's the point? He said, all that type of stuff is Yetzer Hara. You got to keep focused. Do what you have to do day after day. And if you do it day after day, you will change. But you don't have to go see the change every day because that's not how it works. And that's actually what the point of Rabbi Akiva with the stone, the famous story that on the way to Yeshiva, Rabbi Akiva saw that the water, you know, there's a stone underneath the waterfall and the stone had a hole in it, right? You're familiar with the story? So he says to himself, he says, if the water could make a hole in a stone, So Torah, which is an ash, it's stronger than water, could for sure make a hole in my heart, which is much weaker than a stone. It's right. That was Rabbi Kiva's point. But Rabbi Sol Salanter says there was another point that Rabbi Kiva saw in the water. If you would take that water and put it on the stone for 1 minute, do you see any change in the stone? No. You put it on for an hour. Do you see any change in the stone? If you put it on for a year and you're watching it carefully, will you ever see a change in the stone? No. But if you put it on for 10 years, you put it on for 20 years, and you come back later, will there be a change in the stone? Yeah. But you won't see it while it's happening. You got to take a step back and look at it. So Rabbi Kiva says, I was getting discouraged in my learning because I didn't see that my learning made any effect on me. I didn't see that my learning made any impact on me. So Rabbi Kiva says, you know what? I don't have to see it. I believe it. It's going to happen. You just keep learning and you will be changed. It will impact your neshama. There is no such thing as a person engaged in Torah study and it not affect them all the way. Okay, so that was part of what Rabbi Kiva learned, that you don't have to go and measure the change, measure the accomplishments. It doesn't work that way. As long as you're studying, you're engaged in Torah study, that itself will change the person. And that's really the lesson of what he's saying here. So ultimately, you know, and that's why I love this part of the Sefer, because this part of the Sefer is so down to earth and so practical and so real to people's nisyonos that, you know, it's really gishmak. We're going to continue it next week in Mitzvah Shem. Thank you all for, you know, having for some patience. Should we go?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thursday night, 4 minute story.
Thank you for making the effort.
Okay. Sometimes we do a 4 minute story Thursday night. So let's, we'll go for the story. This is a wild story, but I just saw the rabbi who told me the story. Okay. And I mentioned the name of Moshe Feinstein. So I have to kind of say the story over. It's an incredible story. Don't try this at home, but you know, we don't ask questions on Holocaust survivors. So, you know, this story happened with Holocaust survivors. They have emunah that we can't fathom, and therefore they're allowed to do this. Okay, with that disclaimer, this man tells me the following. He says that his mother was a Holocaust survivor. His mother grabbed his grandmother after she had been killed, and she grabbed her on her shoulder, dragged her for 5 miles until she found a burial place for her mother. She survived the most terrible things. And then finally, she got to America. She got to America and she married somebody. She was feeling pain. She went to a doctor. The doctor says, lady, you have ovarian cancer. We have to take out the whole system. So she says to her husband, she says, Hashem did not make me survive the war so I should die in the new world with no children. I'm not doing the surgery, period. We're going to have children. So the husband says, you have to get a bracha from a tzaddik. If the tzaddik says you could do it, then fine. They go to Davin in a shul. They were running around shopping and he had to go do mincha. He goes and he doesn't know where he's going. He goes into a shtibul. He goes Davin's mincha and he comes out. The wife says, did you get a bracha from the Rav? He says, I don't know who the Rav is. I'm just chapping mincha somewhere. He said, no, go back in, get a bracha from the Rav. He goes in, he tells the Rav the story. The Rav says, she'll have banim tamidei chachamim. So he comes out, he's rolling his eyes and the wife says, we got the bracha, I'm doing it. I'm saying it very bekitzer. Bekitzer, a year later, she has a child. She has a child. The doctor delivers the baby and the doctor comes out white, basically. He's like, I don't know, you're nuts. Your lady's crazy, but we delivered the baby, but now we got to do some surgery. You got a crazy disease in there. She says to the husband, she says, no, the bracha that we got from the tzaddik was we're going to have banim, 2 children. I'm waiting for another one. She waits another year to have another baby, another child. The second child is this Rav that was sitting next to me at Kiddush last Shabbos. He's a Rosh Hashiva in Muncie today. He's a Rosh Hashiva in Muncie. He tells me the story about his mother. It was on her Shloishim. She had just been Nifter. He tells me this story. And obviously, that's why I introduced the story by saying, look, Holocaust survivors have different rules. You know, we don't follow rules with Holocaust survivors. She's allowed to do that. Afterwards, he says, by my wedding. Remember, this was like, these were very like Hasidish, or like Hamish, Hungarian Jews in the 70s. So there was no Gdolin pictures. There was no, you know, Yeshiva World News. No one knew anyone who was. Yeah, it was a new world. Eventually, he asked his father. He says to the father, he says on his wedding day, he says, who was the Rav that gave the bracha to mommy? So the father says, I don't think you ever heard of him, but his name was Moshe Feinstein. So Moshe had given the bracha, and the woman with her emuna ended up being able to have two children, and they're both Rosh Hashivas today. One is Rosh Ivan Muncy, who's sitting next to me at Kiddush this Shabbos. He told me the story. And the other one about himself, you know. And the first one is a Rosh Hashiva somewhere else.
And she lived a long life, it seems, if she...
lived a long life. She did the surgery after the second son, and that was that. But, you know, that's emuna. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's for Thursday night story of the week.
Good story.
We'll see you all later next week in Mitzvah Shem.
Mitzvah Shem. Thanks. Have a great job.
Very, very nice.
Thank you to Josh. Okay.
Cool.